God, we praise you. God, we magnify you. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to the children of men. Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. We ought to declare it. God is good. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you, shake the hand, say, man, I like having you in church, and God is good. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Amen. Make sure you greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Awesome to have you in church with us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to read, before you're seated, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. What a great week. Amen. To celebrate. Celebrate with your families, your loved ones, maybe your enemies. Amen. It'd be something if we all invited our enemies over for lunch, wouldn't it? And that might be some of your relatives. You never can tell. Amen. Just go ahead and love them anyway. Amen. God loved us while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to get perfect. He didn't wait to straighten us up and fix all of our problems. In fact, I would surmise, I've been doing this for a while, I would surmise that there might be some folks that still have some things you want to work on. Let me put it this way, okay? There are some husbands that their wives are convinced that they still need to do some work. They still got some things to work on. How about that? No, you don't want that one either. How about let's just admit none of us are perfect? Amen. We all need God to help us out, right? Amen. So let's look. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full. Anybody looking forward to that happening this week? When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I commanded today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty lands, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and He might test you to do good in the end. So God had a purpose for all that they went through, that He might humble you, that He might test you, so in the end, you would do good things. Verse 17, I'm going to read two more, and then we're done. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. What a great verse to read Thanksgiving week. Amen. Because we're going to eat and we're going to be full. And some of us live in beautiful houses and have beautiful things and beautiful blessings. Amen. And so today I want to preach for a little bit. It all adds up. It all adds up to God. Would you pray with me before you're seated? Ask God to help us as we take a few moments to give God glory today. God, we thank you, amen, for your grace and your mercy to us. God, we thank you for your abundant, overwhelming blessing. We thank you, God, for all that you've accomplished in our lives, for all the doors that you've opened up for us, for all the blessings, God, for the strength of our hand, the health of our body, the strength of our mind. I pray, God, that your anointing, amen, and your blessing that you have led us, God, I thank you for that. I praise you for it. In Jesus' great name, let us never, ever forget that you are the source of all life, and from you, all blessings flow. I pray in Jesus' great name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. So Israel comes out of Egypt. Lay a moment's background. They come out of Egypt and they're headed into the promised land, and they get near the end of the journey, it seems, and there's a conversation going on. They're reiterating. Deuteronomy is a reiterating of the laws, the principles, the teachings, what God has passed on to Israel, what God has given them in the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle plan, and the way they're going to worship moving forward. And he also pauses at the beginning of Deuteronomy to wave a flag, to say, look, there's coming a day that you're going to be blessed. They haven't entered into the promised land yet. They haven't crossed the Jordan River. They haven't conquered cities. They haven't moved into homes that they haven't built. They're not partaking of crops that they haven't planted. But the promise is there when they take over Israel that they're going to have all of these blessings. Houses, lands, crops. And they're not going to have to labor to build their house. They're not going to have to labor to plow their fields, to dig up the rocks that are in the fields. They're going to be able to go to plowed fields, to prepared cities, walled cities, and they're going to live in those spaces. And the people, they're going to move out of those spaces, and they're going to take over. And I know that doesn't fit the context of our culture today, but that was the context of the culture. And God said, I want to separate you and your faith from the faith of the heathen. And you've got to move the heathen out. You can't intermingle with the heathen, because they're going to impact you with their lack of faith or with their gods, and they're going to bring their gods with them. And I want you to be honoring me. I'm taking you on this journey. I'm going to land you in this location. But there's coming a day when you're not going to sweat for the labor. You're not going to worry about your crops. You're not going to worry about rain. You're not going to worry about having money. You're going to ride in a beautiful chariot. You're going to have servants to help you, or we would call them employees to help you, not slaves, but employees to help you. And they're going to get wealth, and you're going to get wealth. And once you get there, once you get comfortable, once you get blessed, once your house is blessed and your families are blessed and you've got a beautiful place to live, there's a caution that he wants to throw out, that you don't forget the Lord. Verse 11, he says, take heed, take care, lest you forget the Lord. Verse 14, lest your heart be lifted up and you forget your God. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, it's my power. Man, look how smart I am. Look how capable I am. Look what I have accomplished. And so you forget that the foundation of everything that you have is God's blessings, that God has blessed you with health, or God has blessed you with wealth, or God has blessed you with intelligence, or God has blessed you with imagination, God has blessed you with the wherewithal to push a little bit, to accomplish something, to get the job, to do a good job, to sell a lot, to work extra hard, to whatever your job is, whether it's fixing cars or welding parts or whatever it is, that God has blessed you and you've been able to increase. Don't ever forget, amen, that your blessings come from God. There should be some people in this room, amen, you remember when you were in bondage. You remember when the world held you down and held you back, amen, and it could have been addiction, it could have been alcohol, it could have been some kind of sin in your life that you were lying and cheating and stealing or whatever it was in your life that you got addicted to, caught up in. Maybe it was just pride that it was all about you, how good looking you were, how strong you were, how intelligent, how gifted you were. And you would stop and forget, amen, that every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything that we have, amen, is because God has blessed us. And if you don't think that's true, go to the hospital. Visit the intensive care center and find someone who, that for whatever reason, there's a time in their life when they're going through difficulty. Better yet, come down for our Thursday night where the folks are coming in downstairs trying to overcome addiction and sitting downstairs in a meeting. I've mentioned this before. There was a young man, he probably in his early 30s, and I'm calling that a young man. The teenagers call that old age, but I'm calling that a young man. And he's sitting in a chair, and somebody asks him a question. The attention shifts, and we look, and there's an empty chair. And he is laid over on the ground in the basement of our church, and he has died. He has had an overdose. He's got a girlfriend problem, a marital problem, and he falls over in the meeting and dies. And everybody, it's a panic and an uproar. We call 911. We actually have Narcan in the building. We have Narcan in a box out at the end of our walkway in here for anybody in the community to pick up Narcan. If you don't have Narcan and you've got people around you that are addicted, we've got Narcan out at the end of this walkway, the covered walkway, and you're welcome to pick up a few. And if we run out, we've got more in the basement that we can give you. But they went and got Narcan and began giving him doses of Narcan, and he came back, and he lived. Thank God that he lived. But I'm telling you, if you're have gone through something in your life, some difficulty, and you're sitting in church today blessed, we ought to be thankful to the Lord. Amen. We ought to acknowledge, amen, I didn't get up out of the miry clay all by myself, amen, but that God helped me get where I am. Amen. It's a turtle on the fence post, folks. Amen. No turtle gets to the top of the fence post without help. Nobody gets blessed without some blesser helping them along the way. And if you've been blessed in your life, you can't forget the blesser. You can't forget the one who gives us the blessing, and that is God Almighty. Amen. He is the one. I've seen recently, next year we're going to celebrate 250 years as the United States of America. I think that is quite an accomplishment, 250 years that we've been a nation. Don't you? Amen. I think that's awesome. I would also say, amen, that we were founded on Christian principles. Every of the 13 original colonies, you actually had to be a Christian or a follower of Christ in 12 of those states that were original founding members of the United States of America. It was a requirement to be Christian, to be a citizen. I'm thankful that it's not still a requirement to be a Christian, to be a citizen. But you can't say we weren't founded on some Christian principles. I would say that we've wrestled with some things and made some mistakes and done some terrible deeds. Some things have happened that we're not proud of and I'm not proud of. But I am going to say, amen, Israel is the sing. They made mistakes. They've done things that they shouldn't have done. But God doesn't say, I'm going to give you a pass not to give God glory because you made mistakes, because you wrestled with your faith, because you disbelieved. He said, no, I've given you lots of good and lots of blessings, and nobody in America could ever say that America is not blessed as a nation with abundance of good things in America, an abundance of great people in America, and America ought to give God glory. We as Americans, if you're American, if you're not American, you're here in America, amen, and you ought to give God glory. Because I'm not into Christian nationalism. That's not my point at all. Amen. I'm in the Bible. And the Bible says, amen, if you've been blessed, you ought to give thanks to the blesser. Amen. You ought to give glory to God. And really, it is that way. If your family's blessed, if your kids are healthy, you ought to give glory to God. Because the danger is you might get to the place where you forget. And sometimes we forget when we have ongoing problems. You forget when you have ongoing heartaches. Israel was not yet in, the people of Israel were not yet in the country of Israel when God said, hey, don't forget. Don't forget when you get there. Don't forget when you've crossed the Jordan River and the walls of Jericho have fallen and Ai is conquered and you go to the southern tribes and you conquer that and you go to the northern tribes and conquer that. Don't forget when you get there, amen, to give God glory. Two dangers. The danger of a proud heart that I did it. It's all about me. It ain't about you. And that number two, the danger of a forgetful heart. So let's look for a few minutes. I'll try not to keep you all day, but for a few minutes, three habits of remembering. Speak gratitude. Say it. Say you're thankful. Tell your Sunday school teachers you're thankful that they teach. Tell your youth pastor you're thankful that he's here on a Tuesday night making pumpkin rolls so your kids can go to the youth convention. Be thankful. Be thankful to the guys in the sound booth. Be thankful to the folks in the balcony. Be thankful to the ushers. Be thankful to those that are military veterans. We just had a little celebration we talked about on Facebook, honoring those. My father, I grew up with my dad in the military. We moved from base to base to base. He served in Korea and served a tour in Korea and two tours in Vietnam. I was a little boy when he served in Vietnam. And we did reel-to-reel tapes back then. We'd talk on a reel-to-reel tape and send it to him, and he would talk on a reel-to-reel tape and send it home. And I'll never forget being a little boy hearing incoming mortars in the background while he is on an airbase fixing helicopters. That was his job at that time. He worked on helicopters and was in charge of the helicopter flight line, keeping all the helicopters operational. And he served, and you would listen as he's talking. Oh, don't worry about those incoming bombs. They're about a mile away, and so they're not going to impact me. And if you know anything about the length of a runway, some of the runways they had are a mile long. So he's literally talking. They're hitting down at that end of the runway, and they're not hitting up here at this building. They're attacking what's going on. That's not very far away. How far is a mile away from here? Maybe downtown. It would be as if they're mortaring downtown, and my dad's on the phone saying, don't worry about those mortars. They're a they're a mile away. And so you'd say, oh, okay, they're downtown, and so nobody in church is going to get nervous because they're mortaring downtown Elkhart, Indiana, right? And so you got to realize we've got men in the room that their buddies died. Wayne tells the story that he was driving a half track, and one of the guys said, hey, I want to drive today. And Wayne said, okay, it's just like any other day, I'll let him drive. And Wayne gets in the back, and they hit an IED or a mine in the road and explodes. And Wayne sits in church today. I'm thankful for that. But he always remembers the guys that didn't and the guys that couldn't come home. And for whatever politics you've got about that war, anybody that's old enough, amen, I'm very thankful for the men that put their life on the line. And I'm very thankful for every single man who serves in every single role and every single post, whether it be the police department, the fire department, the Air National Guard, the Coast Guard, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever role that they've got trying to serve America. I know they haven't done it all right, amen, but I would like to say I'm very thankful for everybody that's ever served or ever serves in any of those roles, amen. God bless America. Amen. God bless America. Number two, three habits. Number two, tell the story. Tell the story. We've got a lot of great stories in our church. We've got stories of God healing. My wife's been healed. I've told the story many times. Fatal disease, and God healed her completely. She's not had problems in, how long has it been now? Isaac's was 4, and he's 38. So 33 years ago, oh, 38 years ago. Well, you said 38, so I was going on that's old you were. I wasn't thinking. I was just listening to you. 38 years ago. That's my son, in case you didn't know. That's a little bothered. I didn't remember. He's 42. So 38 years ago, God healed my wife. She's been healed for 38 years. And the Bible actually says, don't forget to tell the story. Don't forget to say, look, God brought me out of the miry clay. Because if you forget where you came from, if you forget who you were, amen, you're liable to repeat and make the same mistake over and over again. And so you, on Tuesday night, we've got testimony service, a time to get up and give God thanks. And I'm an advocate. I'm an advocate of everybody coming on Tuesday night and taking just a moment to say, I want to thank God that he picked me up out of the miry clay. I want to thank God for what he did for me this past year. I think we ought to give God praise. And if you don't, listen, I want to take a test. Here, I want to take a test. I want everybody to take a test. I know I'm a little different today than I normally am, but this is really, I think, valuable. Let's take a test. I want you to know how thankful I am that I married my wife. Okay? And I want you to know. Now, hold on. Look at me, everybody, every eye. I want you to... Ready? You ready? I'm going to give it to you. Did you get it? Do you know how deeply I feel about it? Do you know how much I love her? Do you know how thankful I am for my wife? Here, you didn't get it. Okay, let me give it to you again. Now do you understand? Now do you understand how wonderful my marriage is? How beautiful my wife is? How much I love her? Do you understand that? One more time. But I'll tell you this, some of you think that you can communicate the goodness and the glory of God in the same manner. I don't know how those mind readers do it. You know, they come up and say, well, write your whatever city you want on this board. And they walk over and they go, it says London. And they flip it over and it's London. That's not true. They're not mind reading. And you can't mind read. And you're not going to be able to mind read to somebody else how good God is. You got to open your mouth and say, we serve a good God. Amen. We serve a mighty God. God has done good things for me. And I literally believe that you can live vicariously. You should live vicariously. Amen. If somebody gets up and says, I thank God I had this problem in my life. I had cancer and it's healed. I had a disease and it's healed. Because you're in the room, it becomes part of your testimony. And you can tell somebody else, well, I don't know if you think God's not even real or doesn't exist. But I can tell you, you ought to meet my pastor's wife because God healed her of a fatal disease. And she's completely healed today. And come meet her and let her tell you the story. Amen. Connect somebody with somebody that God's done good for. If you can't give your own testimony, give somebody else's testimony. Say, God's been good, and you've got to say the words. Because if you don't say the words, you don't turn the light on. Amen. You don't let anybody know. We got a lot of introverts in our church. And so I really have to emphasize this for all of you introverts that think, no, I'll just be. You can't just be. You got to say. You got to turn the light on. You can't just be a light bulb. Because a light bulb, you don't turn it on, it has no value. Thank the Lord for pastors. Hallelujah. Woo. Your heart will become proud. Look, Israel, God lays it down. Don't forget I brought you out of slavery. Don't forget that they beat you for 350 years and you were in Israel or you were in Egypt for 400. Don't forget that. Don't forget that he brought you through the wilderness. Don't forget he brought you to Marah. When you got to Marah, you bent down and tried to drink it, and you couldn't drink it because the waters were so bitter. Had you drunk them, you would have died. And Moses, you called for Moses. Moses, what'd you bring us out here for, to die? You bring us to die? I mean, they're 3 days out from Egypt. 3 days out from Egypt, and they're ready to commit Harry Carey on their leader. Because the water's bitter and they're blaming Moses. Who led them to the water? You see, sometimes God leads us, and we don't like to talk about this, but sometimes God leads us to places where we can become bitter. Problems, heartaches, misuse, abuse. You can become bitter. And if you give God the opportunity, God can turn your bitterness into sweet, drinkable water. The point was not that it was bitter. You get the wrong idea if you say, well, hey, he took them to bitterness. He took them to bitter waters. Marah means bitterness. Ah, God took them to bitterness. And you focus on that part of it. Amen. Let's do the whole story. Amen. God took them to bitter waters, and in the time when they needed waters, God knew that they needed waters. He took them to bitter waters so he could turn the situation around and give them sweet waters. Amen. I believe, I'll just be really clear, I believe that God turns lives around. I believe God turns hearts around. I believe God turns minds around. I believe God heals spirits. I believe God heals minds. I believe God heals bodies. I believe God changes marriages. I believe God heals marriages. I believe God heals broken relationships and broken lives and broken hearts and broken minds. And God can heal and replace bitterness with sweetness in your life. God can be that kind of God. He allows bitterness for the opportunity to you know, for you to know what sweetness is. He said in Deuteronomy, all of these things were experiences so you could learn. So I could show you. I wanted to show you my glory. I wanted to show you my power. I wanted to show you my goodness. So I let you come to some places where it seemed like it was insurmountable, seemed like the problems were too big for you. And so you had to cry out to me. But when you cried out to me, I answered your prayer. I made a way for you. I reached down and helped you. Don't ever look back at your life and just see the problems. Because you're going to miss some of the greatest miracles in your own life. Now, God, in a midnight hour, gave you an idea. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I certainly have. Wrestle with a problem. Think about it. Pray about it. God, please. It was a technical computer problem. Worked as a computer consultant for P&G, and I'd worked on a problem for a week. Bought books, went through it, laid my bed, prayed, God, would you please help me understand this? It's not that hard. I know it can't be that hard. God, help me, my blind spot. The next morning I woke up, and I knew what the problem was. And I knew how to solve it. I got up, got dressed, ate my bowl of cereal, went to work, drove in, went into the office, sat down to my computer, turned it on, went to it and said, okay, this is what the problem seems to be. And I went, boom, everything worked. I believe in a God that's active and engaged, amen, and answers prayers and makes a difference in my life. And so I give God glory. And so I give God praise. Amen. So I'm going to magnify. They had no food, and manna came every morning. They got tired of manna and said, ha, we wish we were back in Egypt. We wish we had something tasty besides this stale bread. And so the next day, quail starts landing. You do realize, as soon as they stepped into the Jordan River, there was no manna and no quail. 40 years, manna every day, quail every day, except the Sabbath. The day they stepped into the Jordan River, God said, they don't need it anymore. Because I've prepared fields and harvests and blessings, and they're going to eat of the bounty, a land that flows with milk and honey. They're going to eat of that land. I can't wait till I get to the land that flows with milk and honey. I can't wait, amen, until the Lord decides that he's going to take us out of this place and take us to a place where there is no more moon. Amen. That the sun shines all day, every day, all night, every night. Amen. Because he is the light of heaven and he constantly shines. I can't wait to that day. Amen. And if I have to go through a little bit of difficulty or a little bit of heartache, if I have to wait on God to answer my prayer, if I have to wait for God to make a way, if I have to wait, it's okay because God's going to take care of it because God's on my side. God fights my battles. God makes a way for me in my life. And he makes a way for you. Amen. God doesn't say you're going to have no problems. And then finally, verse 3, or the third point. He asked Israel to give your best. Give your best. He asked them when it came time and they had sacrifices, they sacrificed animals. God said, I want you to go through your flocks and I want you to pick out your best sheep, your best cow, your best oxen, your best whatever. It's anathema. Listen to me. Living for God can seem contradictory. It can seem that way. No farmer, listen, no farmer ever takes his best bull and has it slaughtered. They take the mangy bull, the non-productive bull, the broken-legged bull, and they send it to the slaughterhouse. But they keep the big, strong bull because they want it to produce more big, strong bulls. They want the biggest ram to stay and produce healthy lambs. And so they always would keep the biggest and the best looking and the healthiest so it would do more and give them more. But God said, I want you to do something different. I want you to give me your best. And if you give me your best, amen, I'm going to take your second best, and I'm going to make it better than the best. Amen. I'm going to bless you beyond measure. I'm going to bless you. If you'll give your best to me, amen, if you love what I love, if you care about what I care about, amen, then I'm going to take care of all the needs that you have. I'm going to care about all the things that you care about. I'm going to fight your battles and make a way. I'm going to work in the court system to fix some of the problems that people have in courts. We've seen people that were scheduled to go away for 20 years and release, and now they're missionaries in Israel. Matt Yater was scheduled to go away for 20 years. 20 years later, he's a missionary in Israel and doing a fantastic job. Amen. God's doing a work through his life. I'm telling you, my God changes situations. My God changes lives. Amen. And just because you're not in need of it today doesn't mean you don't give glory to God today. Amen. And the week is about Thanksgiving and family and turkey, or to those of you that are in the no turkey families, ham or whatever it is you choose to eat on that day. And you gather, and I hope you pray, and I hope you gather, maybe hold hands with your family, and you lift your head and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, I thank you for your blessings on our family. God, I thank you. And every time we come to church, if you're in trouble, God's got an answer for it. So while you're in trouble, just go ahead and give God glory. Just go ahead and say, God, I believe, amen, you're the way maker and the prayer answerer. God, you're going to fight my battles. You're going to give me the right mind and the right spirit. God, you're going to lead me. Amen. You're going to guide my footstep. You're going to be a lamp unto my feet, David said, and a light unto my path. Amen. You're going to go in front of me. You're going to be on my right side and my left side, in front of me and behind me. Amen. They really did. David really painted a beautiful picture of God and the goodness of God. Stand with me. I close. Psalms 116, 12 and verse 13 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to do something in closing that I rarely do, almost never do this. I'm going to ask you to read. I'm going to read the first line of a verse. I want you to read the second line of the verse. And I want to close my sermon today by reading a chapter. And I want you to read it with me. Okay? We're going to go to Psalms 136, 18 verses. 18 times I want you to say, "For his mercy endures forever." And I'm going to read the first line. You read the second. It's not exactly laid out the same way I've got it here, but let's read. Let's try it. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone who does great wonders. To him by whom wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand, with an outreached arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, the king of the Amorites. Og, the king of Bashan. Gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state. And rescued us from our enemies. Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven." So I want you to do this. Could you, my family tells me, don't do this. People are very uncomfortable whenever you ask people to do this. But in honor of the Word of God, would you find people around you and join hands? And I want us to thank God together. Find somebody. Just find somebody. And I want you to lift your voice just for a minute, however you're comfortable doing it. God, I thank you for your blessing. God, I thank you for your blessing in my family. God, I thank you for the blessing in our church. God, I thank you for picking us up out of miry clay. God, I thank you for the miracles of finance. God, I thank you for your blessings on our finances. God, I thank you for blessing in our mind. I thank you, Lord, for our children. God, you've gifted our children. You've given our children, our grandchildren, wisdom. Amen. You've given them knowledge. Amen. God, you bless them. Amen. I pray, God, that we would be a blessing to our community. God, that we would be a blessing to our workplace. God, that we would be a blessing to our neighbors. God, I pray that you would make us a blessing, amen, beyond ourselves to those that are around us. I pray, God, we lift our voice and give you glory. God, I pray that we would lift our voice, amen, and honor the Lord. I pray, God, that we would tell people, amen, there's still a God.
Amen. He's still active in the earth. He's still active in our lives. I pray, God. Amen. Bless us, God. Anoint us, God. Help us to open up and give God glory. I pray in the name of the Lord. Give God glory at work. Give God glory at home. Give God glory in our community. I pray, let our light shine in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now put your hands together and let's magnify God. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Come on, sing to the Lord a minute.